when you understand the breath and the body connection, and we understand the mind connection to it all, you can use something like a breathwork journey to connect to your infinite self and to connect to those parts of you that might be suppressed, that might be scared, that might be wounded. You'll also connect to love, you'll connect to transcendence, a lot of different levels of reality. Every time you do it is different. And your consciousness can kind of change, meaning you can go into alpha waves and theta waves. Your body will dissolve sometimes because of the frequencies, because everything's vibration. So the
Wow.
idea is to really tap into all aspects of you. So I do a breathwork journey, and 20 people in a room, two people are crying, or three or more, because we all have repressed trauma that has to come out. We as humans don't know how to shake off trauma, period. So when you're going through the dark night of the soul, you realize, oh my God, I have generational trauma. I have trauma from parents. I have trauma from the schoolyard. And then we just sit with it, and the cellular memory holds on to it, and then we create the reality based off that. So kind of going back to this idea of, if you feel anxious in the body, you're going to create projections to create anxiety, because what are you trying to do? You're trying to make sense of your reality. The body just takes orders. So in a breathwork sound and journey, I like to call myself like a sacred experiences facilitator, because we want to go into the sacredness of self, not the self you've been taught or told. Not your conditioning patterns, your old beliefs, your societal wounds, your programming. Who's the real you? The real you is.
Welcome back, Envisionaries, to the Dream Into Being podcast, where mind science, transformational psychology, and magic all merge into one. If you're ready to dream again and transcend the inertia of what you've known, then I invite you to join me, your host and envisioneer, Kat Devine, in expanding the boundaries of your own fantasia by remembering that you are the master you've been waiting for. Welcome back, Envisionaries. Today is going to be such a wild ride because I get a chance to share with all of you somebody who was so incredibly critical in my own personal spiritual awakening journey. And it's something that, to be completely honest, I didn't really even know it was a thing. I mean, I consider myself open for the majority of my life, and very interested and very curious. However, there comes a point in everybody's journey, not everybody, many people's journey, where something happens. There's an experience that is so undeniable that it repatterns your consciousness and it completely reroutes your journey, your human experience. And in my case, I just got lucky enough to cross paths with this amazing human being that I'm going to introduce you guys to today. And we're going to talk about things that even I don't know. We're going to get a chance to find out things about his personal spiritual awakening journey and how it got him to where he's at now in a life of service. So thank you so much, Coulter, for joining us today. And I really am so honored to get a chance to talk to you. It's amazing that we have been able to stay connected over the years and witness each other's journeys and really deepening our calling and our passions and our purpose. And it's been so incredible to witness everything that you've created. It's so inspiring. So essentially what I love to do on this show as the intro is I love to give people a chance to celebrate themselves. It's something that's a little bit rare, and I think it's so powerful to give you guys the stage to just share with us, what are you so proud of about your journey? And specifically through the lens, by the way, the series focus for today is the healing experiment series, but really, really focused on spiritual awakening. So what is anything that you'd like to share a little bit about yourself, your background, and just really what are you super proud of?
Ooh, thank you, Kat. Yes, thank you. And I love walking this path with you. It reminded me of that Ram Dass quote, we're all walking each other home. So
right.
It's an honor to be of service for you, to you, and everyone else and possible. So what I share hopefully will resonate, because we are all in the human experience. So it's same, same, but different. The way I celebrate my successes sometimes, what I do and what I don't do. And so this idea of I'm 38, in my early 20s and teens, I was a wreck in a lot of ways, anxious and didn't know what a lot of myself, didn't understand. Fast forward to today, I feel much more capable, capable of life, much more grounded and understood in self. Because it's this truly idea of know thyself. If you're walking around in this reality and don't know who you are, what makes you tick, what makes you hurt, what makes you come alive, it's just hard. So I'm celebrating myself for putting in the work and learning to understand who I am and how I can help and influence others. Also being consistent in some things of just showing up for others. I do a lot of breathwork classes and retreats and one-on-one coaching now, and showing up feels really, really wonderful because in my 20s and early 30s, I wanted to help out really bad and I didn't have the outlet. So being very into the awakening of self, helping others, helping them discover their deep inner core of who they are. I say who you are because it's this idea of you're much more than you really think, usually much more than the body. It's been a gift to be a part of that, to be an intermediary, to be a liaison, and to help others. So I want to celebrate that.
Yes. Oh gosh, you touched on so many things that I feel like we're just going to deep dive and explore all of it. So, of course, I think my listeners, the first thing they're going to think of is, ooh, what did this wreck of a life look like? Because I think we have to travel that, right? Like, something that I'm really exploring and considering is that all experiences are very sacred, and how wonderful that you have this bridge of compassion, right? That you can reach people that have gone through that human experience of knowing they want to serve, but they have to go through that darkness of life, certain pain points. So, if you don't mind just sharing, like painting a little picture of maybe what your 20s looked like, and then what the shift was, what was the shift of consciousness that woke you up, I guess?
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, because becoming woke in your own way, or it's all different. But yeah, I'll tell you. So really amazing life, super blessed. But on the like amazing parents and everything. But I was hyper anxious. The perfectionism energy, pressure from sports was astronomically high. And really difficult to be seen because of judgment and criticism of like internal self, because when you're usually your own inner critic. And I had a lot of pressure to perform. And what's really fascinating is in college, I've told this story a few times more now lately, but I was playing college basketball. I'd get on the court and I couldn't breathe. And I would just go out there and just see double everything within literally 2 minutes. I'd start sweating. I would just have these anxiety attacks. And I was so focused on the performance aspect that I clenched up. I couldn't function. I couldn't breathe. I ended up quitting basketball because I couldn't perform. I didn't like it anyways. It was kind of one of those things. But it was this idea that it got so bad where I couldn't function in a lot of ways. Now I'm a breathwork coach, so it's kind of weird where it's like find
I
your
know.
breath in some ways. So that led me to moving to Arizona from Montana, changing my life, not completely, but trying to re-identify who I was. And so there was that hero's journey type, who am I? Let's learn, let's discover. In my early 20s, I was really into business after getting into real estate after college and like how to be successful. And one night I went to Barnes and Noble bookstore, and through a series of events, this book fell off the shelf. It was all about spirituality and kind of this idea of what else is out there. I don't know, I don't want to give you the direct book, but it was this. I started reading it, and I swear in my life, I started feeling the pulsations of spirit, life, God. As I'm reading, I go, what is going on? What is going on? And I didn't know what it was at the time. That's why I just read this other book, like a lot of conversations with God type books and learning about what other people have experienced. And it's hard to explain, but I started feeling everything. I started feeling so much. I would feel into the energies of the room and the people. And this is, you know, everything's energy, everything's vibration. It's quantum, it's all that. It's not woo-woo. It's, we can feel vibes, everything. But I started feeling the energies of others. And then I started like seeing things sometimes. And, you know, people go, oh, I have voices in my head. I'm like, yeah, sometimes I do too, you know? So it started to awaken and open up this space of multidimensional awareness is the verbiage I would use now. And then I'd start meditating and I'd focus on my heart, and then my heart would just expand and open up, and I'm like, whoa. So I started feeling all these frequencies and energies in my early 20s. And I got massively fascinated with just the spiritual world in general. So I made friends with psychics, mystics, shamans, trans channelers, healers, just to learn. So I learned from all these different people that could tap in, and it became an obsession to where I did it like every day. So now moving forward, because there's a lot in between, but moving forward, it's this idea of being ultra fascinated with the spiritual, ultra fascinated with how can you connect to your inner self in this idea of the light within, whatever your verbiage is, and how can you like access higher states of consciousness in order to move through this reality on your right. terms, with love and less pain and more pleasure, whatever you're choosing. That's been the obsession. And it's been every day, all the time.
I love it. I know, it's so interesting. That was very similar, at least feeling experience. Once my awakening happened, it was like this thirst for knowledge where that's all that matters, right? Like everything else that feels very practical and basic and human just kind of takes a back seat for a minute. And I want to talk about this for just a moment because it was a part of my journey, and I know it was a part of yours as well, that when that part of us opens up, we don't really have discernment yet. Like we're just these curious little babies moving into this experience, and we're so craving knowledge that we'll take it from almost anybody and everywhere. Just the curiosity kind of gets a hold of us. And I think one of the reasons that I named this show Dream Into Being, meaning there's one part of the journey that opens us up, right, to creation itself. And that's really more the idea realm, the etheric, the imagination, which is incredibly important. But to actually make it practical and make our lives matter, there's a second part to that equation, which is the manifestation aspect of bringing those ideas into reality and channeling them into a really grounded state of creation. And I know we were touching base a little bit on this before we started recording today, and I'm just curious what your experience was of how did you go from that space of being wide open and connecting with anything and everything to clicking that, okay, there's a practical aspect to this that needs to be a little bit more grounded for me to be able to embody what I'm learning and share it in a really grounded way. So I'm really curious what that looked like for you.
Great question, because in the spiritual journey, it's a challenge of opening up, and spiritual journey is just opening up to the self, to life, to understanding, to go beyond your conditioning patterns, to look at yourself with discernment. There's many different ways of explaining it. So for me, it was, oh my God, there's much more to reality. Oh my God, there's quantum physics says there's up to 11 dimensions to our reality, and the math proves it. And you're like, what? You know, even then you start learning all this, you start feeling and emotions. When you open up to that self, it can be very scary because you have to question your reality of what you've been told. And then there's also this phase of just learning and accumulation. So then you want to get all I read all the books, watched all the videos of sages and mystics and what's the truth of reality. So what I did was I tried to be spiritual. Yes. And I tried to do these things. I put try because when you try, it doesn't really work. But I was trying to do the in the go to the cabin for 3 weeks and try to connect with my spirit. I did a lot of that type of stuff. I did a lot of yoga and connection, which is amazing. But it's to get to your authentic self. So the saying that always pops in my head is, you have to, you fill your cup up with all this knowledge or with all this learning of life, but then you eventually have to empty it and come to your own conclusions. So I started having to come to my own conclusions of, okay, obviously you can't meditate in a cave or whatever the proverbial thing is anymore. You have to be in service to people and in the real world in service to yourself. So the last 10 years or so, it's been, how can you bridge the gap between spirituality, the outside woo-woo stuff, into everyday reality, and getting really fascinated with consciousness, fascinated with the fact that you can change your perception. Fascinated with the concept that if you work on yourself and you set the right intentions, because everything's intentions, we could talk about the universal structure and what I've learned, you start to play with reality. And you become like a bender of reality. You become this not in a prison of the real, the state that we've been taught or told, not in the prison of the mind, going back to where I was super anxious. I still have anxiety occasionally, but it's not very much anymore because I've learned to move it around and become very conscious of my creation. So this idea of we're moving energy, we're capable beings that are so much more than what we've been taught. So I was learning how to move energy and move vibration through my thoughts, through my breath, through my body, and ground it into a state where I could function better in this reality. That was difficult for me. So functioning in this reality, there's a ton of mind practices, ton of body practices. You know, I do a lot of breathwork classes, and that's one of the greatest ways to connect to your mind, body, and spirit. And we can talk a lot about that type of thing of how do you connect and then how do you ground and then all that. But it's been a beautiful journey from the head to the heart, sometimes from the heart into the body, to really feeling and witnessing and being okay that when you're in the dark night of the soul, it's okay to go into the shadow parts, the unprocessed, repressed emotions, and just help people understand once again, what's the point of this reality? It's, you know, to experience, to love, to be in charge of your own state of being and your consciousness and not give your power away. So I've did that for a long time and still doing it.
That's okay. I mean, I'm learning that it's just a matter of refining. Like, I don't know that we will never escape being human while we're in this human body. And it really just is a series of being more and more compassionate to ourselves and others, being more humbled, and then just refining our ability to show up in a way that we consciously choose to. So I don't want to skip over what you had said about reality and intention, because I feel like there's a vein of gold there. And then I would also like to connect that piece to the dark night of the soul, because I imagine that this particular conversation is really going to serve anybody who might find themselves in their beginning stages of awakening and maybe are just kind of at that place of not really knowing where to spend their time and energy and focus. So coming back to the intention and how that affects our reality and maybe connects with manifestation, I would love to pick your brain on that.
Sure. Different ways of going through and explaining it. You could start with like the quantum and this idea, if you go into the quantum experiences, the quantum entanglement and the double slit experiment and all that stuff that maybe nobody's ever heard of or they have. Basically, long story short, the perceiver creates the reality. When you look at the reality, it morphs and changes. So then you realize that you're the perceiver creates this. Okay, so who's the perceiver that's actually perceiving? Okay. That's the big question. So in a lot of spirituality, they'll say, who am I? Or who is the I that is looking at this or experiencing this? We have to know ourselves. Well, what is ourselves? We're very complex, multidimensional beings where we have an ego, we have a pain in the body, we have old programming and trauma wounds. We have the heart, where the heart is full of love and resonance. And it's this idea that you got to figure out how to tap into these different parts of you and understand what processes are actually motivating you, and what processes are controlling you. So what's really fascinating that I've learned a lot of, and is this idea of, it's like we have different minds. You have the mind of peace, the mind of love, the mind of spirit, the mind of God, the mind of whatever you call it. And then we have the ego, or we have the mind of chaos, the mind of separation, the mind of judgment. Yeah. So you have to start with these, like, I like curious energy. So getting curious with, oh, I just had a judgmental thought. What came there? And you can very easily understand this, where I was joking with a client a couple of months ago, where you say, okay, if somebody gets you really mad and you really want to go and punch them in the face, but you say, no, that wouldn't be right. I would rather give them love. Well, that's two different voices almost in your head saying, okay, I'll punch them, or I want to give them love. So you're trying to find what part of you is in control, what part of you want to listen to. So in the religious energies, it's like listening to Christ, listening to Buddha, listening to, you know, that type of thing, the inner guidance. And spirituality, it's the kind of the inner guidance as well. It's the same, but different. So learning, especially when you first start, this can be extremely complex and simple, very simple. Okay, your head says one thing, your heart says another. How do you tap into your heart to listen to the wisdom of the heart? Mm-hmm. Okay, your gut instinct says something different than your conditioning. How do you differentiate?
Right.
So being very complex beings in some ways that we haven't been taught how to use these body systems, my fascination is to help with the human experience of tapping into those sources. So an easy example is you do a breathwork journey, and the way I do them is a full journey. Like, it's almost like a plant medicine, where you really connect, and people will connect to that love inside of them that is always there, or they'll connect to that heaven frequency. They'll connect to this profound sense of peace that is always there, but it has to be connected to know that it's real. Then it's in your quantum experience. Now you know you can access it at any point. So I like to do a lot of experiments and exercises through meditation, breath work, all that, to connect to the inner parts of you. So if you're to say, Coulter, what's like your divine purpose? I don't know if that's the right verbiage. I've always thought it's to help awaken my, it's to awaken myself and help others do the same. Mm-hmm. And it's different for everyone, but you got to know the blueprint. You got to know what makes you tick. You got to know the body system. Right. You got to know the laws of the universe, and then you can blossom. So it's different for everyone because the perceiver creates the reality.
Yeah.
Fascinating, huh?
Oh, this is amazing. I already see like a full university or online academy at some point in your future where you're going to help people to break this down, because it really is a journey. And I think one thing I would have loved to have had at the beginning of it was just like less pressure on myself to, like, I don't know. I had this part of me that's like, heal as fast as you can, go through all of your darkness and purge it. And I was so, you know, I was kind of on my own trying to figure this out, like piecemeal it all together. There was this part of me that was so in rejection of my darkness. And then I come to find out, oh gosh, okay, I understand why that's our instinct, right? To push away the pain. And then once it clicked, I'm like, oh gosh, that's the complete opposite of what will actually heal me, is to embody the dark and the light. And so if you wouldn't mind sharing with the audience a little bit about what is the dark night of the soul, what can they expect, and what's your advice for if they find themselves in that time period of their life?
Sure. It can be explained different ways, but the dark night of the soul is this idea that kind of you get to a point where everything you thought was real wasn't or isn't.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole big mental construct breakdown. You can have emotional breakdowns. Mm-hmm. You could go into the subconscious parts of you that haven't become conscious yet. And you go into these spaces where it doesn't make sense. It's terrifying. It's ungrounding. And you have to question your reality, or you have to question yourself. So the very low would be like a suicidal frequency, or what's the point of this reality? It's just, yes. What's the point?
Right.
I'll give you a story in a second if I remember, but this idea that once you go to those deep lows, you can kind of see into the darkness and maybe not be afraid, or you can see into the illusions, you know, the illusions of suffering. Sometimes we all suffer, but are we creating an illusion that holds us to the binding of suffering? So you have to look into the shadow aspects that weren't ready to be seen. So spiritual awakening is like a cracking open of all this. Of I didn't realize that this is what I was controlling me. I, you know, in a dark night of the soul, you can realize that a trauma of 20 years ago has been dominating your thought process forever, and it's making you be in a fear state. And all of a sudden, you have to feel into that and go, "Whoa, now what do I do?" As opposed to spiritual bypassing or just living in the matrix or living in the programming, you don't have to go into that. So an example I was telling my girlfriend the other day is everything's a projection in some realities. So if you have anxiety and you have the mind projects a reality that's, it's like if I go up and I public speak, major anxiety. So you look into that and the mind creates this experience to say like, okay, when it's anxious, you know, it does it for many reasons. So it's just show this experience and say, okay, this is going to make me anxious. How do I feel safe? Or how do I feel like I can do this? But then if it comes back on you, then you're going to be in the program of the fear of being anxious. And you say, no, I don't want to look at that. Like, no, I don't want to look at that projection. And then it comes back in loops. But the idea is to actually look at that and go, why am I anxious? Why am I fearful? So you can look into the shadows, look into the distortions. So ideally, you know, you can create a better picture, create a better reality. And if you see everything as, let's say, love, and you get to this point of in your system, knowing that when I go on stage, it's going to be okay, that you can operate in a different system. But without looking into the shadows, it's impossible. You can only bypass the frequencies. So the dark night of the soul makes you actually go into those and question your reality, question your whys. Super scary, and it's very important to have guides with that. I'll tell you the story. You want to hear it really fast?
Yes.
So I was doing a really amazing meditation, and this is out there, but it's amazing.
Okay.
I dissolved. You can do this through breath work. You can do this through mindfulness. I dissolved into this frequency where I would just call it as I didn't exist. Okay. It was just in the, because I said the I thought, the I of culture, the I of who I thought I was, it dissolved. And you can, some people do this in plant medicine, some people do this in other ways, ego eradication exercises, where you go to the space of, oh my gosh, I'm just pure energy, I'm pure light, I'm pure love, whatever. And I had this moment of terror where I went, I don't exist. And I felt this insane, like, scary, I don't exist. Oh, where am I? And it was this what is going on? But then, give or take, in about 20 seconds, this amazing frequency of love and expansion came in and went like, I don't exist. I am everything. I am oneness. I am love. And I felt this just major contrast, and it brought me back into this space of I, Coulter, is just a construct of what I believe and perceive in this reality, but the existing, the love that's always there, it's there for us to have and to be and to connect to, the I am presence, the love, whatever you call it. So then you can work through that reality as opposed to being scared of your existence or scared of who you are. And because in the dark night of soul, you have to question to a lot of those things. So I hope that's an interesting example of going into those spaces. It's really scary, then it's beautiful, and then you got to come back and go, okay, now what does this mean to me in my reality, and how do I function properly?
Exactly. I mean, this really is, it's almost, we were talking about this before we started as well, that all of those parts are so sacred. And I think, again, there was like a part of me that wishes I could have just relaxed a little bit more through the experience instead of trying to escape it. That's what finally really clicked. I was like, if you are in an experience, there's a reason. There is something for your evolution at that very, in that projection, in that matrix reality. All it is it's just like a playground. for us to see ourselves, right? To see what's happening on the inside. So part of the healing process that I know you have like really mastered, and I'm sure you are just light years ahead from when I first met you. I think that was, gosh, 2018-ish, around that time. What can you share about breathwork? And until you have actually experienced it, I don't know that anybody really understands the value of the breath, even what it is, and how that can help us, especially in the dark night of the soul, to kind of surface things in the unconscious that are living in the body. And I know that's probably a main focal point of your purpose and your work in this life is reconnecting people to the breath. And I love what you said at the beginning. It reminded me of this quote by Michaela Sheldon. She says, "We walk the human story that we're meant to transmute in others." So I love that the beginning of your journey was this overwhelming anxiety that disconnected you from the breath, right? So of course you're going to find mastery on the other end so that you can kind of handhold people across that bridge. So anything that you want to share about what is breath work and what's the phenomena behind it?
There's so much to explain. It's fascinating. It's so incredible. It's breath work. Breath is life. Breath mm-hmm. is everything. If you lose your breath, good luck. If you lose the breath pattern, the breath energy, then anxiety, depression, all that. If you can breathe, it's a gateway. And our bodies are incredible pharmaceuticals. So when we do a breath, we detox, we release serotonin, stuff, chemicals, brain waves change. So when I do a breathwork meditation or breathwork journey, it's breathwork based, but it's like meditation on steroids. Mm-hmm. So this is highly relatable to people because it's the big why. When you understand the breath and the body connection, and we understand the mind connection to it all, you can use something like a breathwork journey to connect to your infinite self and to connect to those parts of you that might be suppressed, that might be scared, that might be wounded. You'll also connect to love. You'll connect to transcendence, a lot of different levels of reality. Every time you do it is different. But for those who are curious with breathwork, there's different forms, but you can create circular rhythms and breath holds, and your consciousness can kind of change, meaning you can go into alpha waves and theta waves. Your body will dissolve sometimes because of the frequencies, because everything's vibration. So the idea is to really tap into all aspects of you. So I do a breathwork journey and 20 people in a room, 2 people are crying or 3 or more because we all have repressed trauma that has to come out. We as humans don't know how to shake off trauma, period. So when you're going through the dark night of the soul, you realize, oh my God, I have generational trauma. I have trauma from parents. I have trauma from the schoolyard. And then we just sit with it. And the cellular memory holds on to it. And then we create the reality based off that. So kind of going back to this idea of if you feel anxious in the body, you're going to create projections to create anxiety. Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to make sense of your reality. The body just takes orders. So in a breathwork sound and journey, I like to call myself like a sacred experiences facilitator, because we want to go into the sacredness of self, mm-hmm. not the self you've been taught or told, mm-hmm. not your conditioning patterns, your old beliefs, your societal wounds, your programming. Who's the real you? The real you is love, expansion. I do these classes called Die Before You Die, and it's this idea of connecting to the infinite self to know that death is an illusion. So when we go through these journeys, we experience the different layers of reality. So some people are crying, some people are in a trauma state because they're releasing and so shaking, yelling, screaming. Others are intense bliss. Like we're talking intense. There are these feelings of literally God spirit is holding them because guess what? The illusion was broken. Breathwork activates and amplifies you so much to vibrate, to feel. It goes beyond a lot of times the 5 senses and the normal waking state for transpersonal experiences. So there's a lot of this like Stan Grob and holotropic breathwork and all this stuff. They mapped it out and know that how powerful this is. So it is a gateway to experiencing deeper parts of you. Other people are connecting to the metaphysical realms and to the heaven states. Others are getting direct guidance and downloads, which, in that verbiage, some people think that the universe is like a matrix hologram or whatever, and you can get downloaded and upload like a computer, because our subconscious is like a supercomputer.
Right.
So if we are operating at 95-ish%, 97% subconsciously, that only leaves 3 to 5% conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're repeating patterns every day based on what we already know. How do we go into the subconscious mind to reprogram? And how do we go into these deeper parts of you to understand, wait, why am I doing what I'm actually doing? What is the whole point of this? Most people don't go there. Right. So there's the guy, Supernatural Breathing. I can't think of his name right now. Joe Dispenza. He mapped this out perfectly, because in a breathwork journey, and sound and meditation sometimes, but breathwork takes you so deeply, you have direct access into your subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. So then you can feel, pull out, express, change yourself, because the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between a thought and an actual experience. So you're going into those spaces to relearn about yourself, to recharge yourself, to get a move energy, because everything's energy. It's fascinating. And we were talking before, Kat, this idea of some people will do like a plant medicine to do the same thing. Some people will do meditation. Some people get this through, literally they'll do it through trauma. Sometimes trauma can happen.
Right.
Intense yoga, an ice bath. And I don't know, like people can, do many, many different ways of in their bodies sometimes and accessing these higher planes of existence. I just love being the mediator to help people have these experiences.
Yeah. Yes, I know. And me being somebody who has been in your presence when you are living your Dharma, it is something that is hard to put into words, but there is a level of mastery that is very tangible in the experience. And I think what you bring to the table is such a deep connection to the energetic field that, I mean, I would just kind of witness you. I mean, 20 people's energy in that state is a lot to manage. So I can't imagine that somebody who is not grounded and not educated could handle that, right? So what is your experience when you've got all of these things? I mean, it's a little bit of a state of chaos, right? I mean, there was one class that was so healing for me. I really had a huge block in my throat chakra and spent most of my life not speaking my truth. And of course, now I'm in the phase of my life where self-expression is like one of my foundational pillars. It is so important to me and to help others get to that place of authentic self-expression. And one of your classes was so perfect for me, where we were as a group, many people were yelling and screaming, but then howling like coyotes and animals. And I mean, it sounded like we were in the jungle, and it was so much fun to finally open up and self-express. I can't even tell you the last time before that moment that I felt safe enough to do that. So you do create a really safe container. And so I've always been curious, what is your experience and what are you looking for? What are you reading and what are you managing in that process?
Ooh, that's a lovely question. And hopefully this is relatable just even outside of the breathwork journey as well for others.
Yes.
So what I've learned doing 400 or 500 classes or so, not just breathwork, but things I used to do before with meditation classes and whatnot, is you have to hold the container and create the sacred space. So setting intentions and being grounded in your own energy and your own self is really important. When you're a facilitator, for better or for worse, you're kind of like the energy pillar. And yeah. So creating the space that feels safe and feels comfortable, that you're priming people to be okay in that space, especially when there's a lot of people to express and to feel. So my experience is going around and feeling into the space where I'll do drums and I'll do bowls and gongs and try to move the energy. But this idea where the more I trust You can call it spirit, God, life force. The more I trust in self, you try to tap into that innate knowing or that divine intuition. So even if you're not in the spiritual world, you have intuition. You realize, like, we have gut instincts and everything. So I like to feel into the spaces and keep the energy flowing, meaning over here it might need to be moved more. Over here, this person's having a difficult time. So in the I don't call myself a shaman, but the shamanic sense or whatever, you're moving the flow of energy and you're letting the universe, spirit, do its own thing. Because we all have blocks and all energy patterns that we want to find ways to flow energy. This is through yoga, tai chi, breathwork, meditation, talking to others, trying to go through your authentic self. I'm trying to have the energy flow and being as intuitive as I can, while letting spirit, life, do its thing. Because the body knows how to heal. The consciousness of creation knows how to ground you, balance you, harmonize you. What gets in the way is all your thoughts, all your conditioning patterns, your old wounds, the ego that says, this is weird, this is unsafe. So in all, not just the breathwork mm-hmm. journey, it's all that, whether mm-hmm. in a relationship, and it's the same way. It's like, what do you create? Safety, to feel like you're seen and heard and able to express. It's the same concept. And then you're seeing the energy patterns, you're feeling into what's actually going on and trying to know with deep truth and conviction what they might need. And it could be raising vibration, lowering it. Mm-hmm. It could be holding space in different ways. It's really important, because what is the whole point of purpose of life is to learn how to be a creator of energy and manifestation and all that. So many, many, many stories. And I do a lot of intuitive coaching, like intuitive readings, where I'll tap into people and for guidance. And yes, it's a little like the connection to the universe and oneness and tapping into spirit. But it's also this idea that we all have intuition, and I can tap into you subconsciously, just like you can to me, whether you call it vibes or whatever, but you can hone it and get so good at it that you see energy patterns, you see people's programming, you can look at them and go, oh my God, they're dealing with this type of a trauma from their past. You just know. Stan Grav, once again, I said he talked about the perinatal matrices and how we all have trauma from when we were born. And you can see that come up in different ways. So long story short with that is, I'm trying to help people move through the experience that's best for them while holding the truth and love of how I can be best of service. It's different every time, but it's very exciting.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I could talk to you forever, because everything that you're saying is really landing, meaning, like, back to the intuition. When somebody is really embodied knowledge and wisdom through experience, it translates on another level. Like, there's this energetic frequency and transmission that is coming through you that I think will land with a lot of people, because you understand what you're saying so deeply that it will just kind of level them up or create those new neural pathways for them to really maybe be a little bit more brave about stepping into this part of their own healing experiment journey. So I would love to direct the conversation towards, how can people find you? How can they work with you? I'll of course be including all of your links in the show notes below so people can connect with you, because like, I think that working with somebody like you is so crucial, no matter what stage of their journey that they're in, because having grounded guidance from somebody who actually has witnessed as many transformations as you have and has been able to read energy patterns and is very familiar with how to move energy. I think that's where I even get stuck with that. I get stuck with, like, man, I know what my narratives are. I see them very clearly, and there's still some that I haven't figured out. There must be a part of me that is still attached to that story, right? So I'm going to have to set up a call with you to help me move through some of that energy. But yes, how can people work with you?
So there's a variety of ways. I'm based out of Phoenix, so I do a lot of personal one-on-one and group events live, where I play instruments and all that. And then I have retreats. So if you go to coulter-smith.com, There's lots of events, but if you're around the world or whatever, I do a lot of one-on-one over the phone. So did a couple hundred sessions last year and really connected to a ton of amazing people. And you can think of it as intuitive coaching. This idea that I'll tap in, ground, work with energy, work with the quantum, work with the oneness, and you get advice. And it's not as out there as you think. It's this idea that we all have access to it, and it's within us and it's around us. And going back to you, Kat, where you were talking about, like, sometimes you have your own, you even know that you have to work on things and it's difficult, or we all have blind spots. So it's very challenging for us to objectively see ourselves because of all of our conditioning patterns. There's just so much. So for somebody like me to go out and look at you objectively from an outside perspective, just like any coach or whatever, it's invaluable because I'm seeing it for what it is and I'm not attached, and I have a different perspective than you. So it goes back to the perceiver that creates the reality. So I might be able to see a blind spot that you can't. I might be able to help you see, what about this? And here's the guidance that I'm feeling. How does this feel? Because here's the whole point, is I'm helping you understand what you already know. That's the whole point, is you already know all this. You just got to get out of your own way. You got to get all the conditioning, all the trauma out. So I'd like to help people through one-on-one sessions to do that, because it's so empowering. And as collective light beings, love beings, and all that, we need each other. We need each other to hold each other accountable, to hold sacred space, to be into the oneness, and to have different perspectives, because all the different perspectives create one whole, because we're walking ourselves home in the most love and compassion possible in a world that is very challenging. So my services would be those, and I'm also available to co-create. So being a part of other people's events, a lot of retreats, I did a lot the last couple of years of just in becoming a part of their experiences as an add-on, I guess, where we rocket it a couple amazing breathwork journeys with a ton of sound, and people go, "What the heck was that? That was amazing." So I love, love, love that. So co-creation would be amazing as well.
Oh, okay. I love it. And then basically, do they just go to your website to connect with you? Do you have very specific links that I could share in the show notes for them to book a call with you?
Yes, cultursmith.com, or easier, cultursmith30 on Instagram. That's probably the easiest. You can do Facebook as well, but Instagram, and then there's a Linktree link to everything.
I'm so excited. It's been so much fun for me to witness your journey. I mean, I feel like we almost touch base like maybe once a year or so just to stay connected. And every time I connect with you, I see how you are just deepening into your calling. Like I can see that you're immovable now in what your purpose is and what you're doing and why you're here. And I think so many of us are craving that so deeply. I don't know if there's any conversation that is more common right now than what is my purpose and what am I doing here? What am I meant to be doing here? So that's why I really encourage you guys to reach out to Coulter or reach out to anybody. I love what you said is that we're not in this alone. We're actually not meant to figure this all out on our own. So there's so much healing and nervous system regulation in this. Stepping into even co-creation on a one-on-one level. So just want to really encourage you guys to reach out for support. And then to leave this beautiful conversation off is coming back to wherever somebody is on their journey. What is like the one piece of advice, maybe for your younger self when you started this whole spiritual awakening, this self-healing, this knowing thyself journey? What are a couple of pieces that you could leave people with?
What comes to mind is this understanding that you have the ability to choose. You have the ability to choose kindness or pain, suffering. You have the ability to listen to the voice inside of you that is loving, that is more grounded and peaceful, or you have the choice to listen to the anxiety and make up false assumptions. It's freedom lies within the choices and the decisions. So knowing that you're not a victim and you're not controlled by the fear that may run you, that was a big deal back in the day. But to, even if you give in to the fear, let's say, knowing that you still have a choice to listen to the voice of reason and the voice of love, and knowing the difference would be really big, because the more that you can administer kindness and compassion and all that in your body feels better, it heals, the mind relaxes, and then you get more excited to focus on that. We all have that. We have the devil and the angel. We have the different systems. Which wolf do you feed? If you've heard that before, you feed the wolf that the wolf that you feed the most wins, or whatever. I messed that up.
Yes.
But knowing that you have a choice to follow the internal guidance, and knowing that you're not you don't have to succumb to societal influences and peer pressure and all that. It's like, how do I focus on what's truthful to me? Mm-hmm. How do I find the Christ within, if that's your verbiage, but on my terms? That makes sense to me. How do I find the love that wants to come out and express? You know, this is different ways of explaining. How do I just tap into myself without judgment? How do I self tap into myself? So there is a choice, and there's always a way. So this idea where there's a will, there's a way. Make your mess your success. Find people like me, find people like you, read the books. I read so many books. It was insane. I made friends with psychics, mystics, channels, all these people, and learned, honestly, some things of like what, a lot of things of what not to do, because a lot of
right.
people were not in alignment. It took me years to realize, you know, okay, they're teaching me what not to do. But the whole point is, find the teachers, find the people that can help you. Don't go at it alone. It's cliche, but it's very true, because my reality once again can help you, and vice versa. So really understanding that idea of community connection is so important. So reach out, connect to people, listen to podcasts like this, and go on your journey of learning about yourself and enjoying this experience as much as you can.
I love it. And thanks for that prompt. Any of you that are listening to this that have had some sort of a transformation in your own life around any of the experiment topics that we cover on this show, please feel free to reach out to me. My email is in the description box below. I'd love to have you come on and share your story, because I'm finding that as human beings, and this goes back thousands and thousands of years, we thrive on story and we thrive on connection. And it's incredible that this episode is going to make contact with exactly the right people at the right time. There's some magic to that, and that they're going to connect with you and that you're going to connect. We're all just this network, right? And so my invitation to all of you is to just reach out, whether it's to me or to Coulter or anybody in your community, that you don't have to do this alone. And at the very least, hopefully this incredible interview with this incredible human being that really changed the course of my own life. So thank you again for that. I know I've said that to you, but it did put me on my path. It kind of was that, like, that wake up call of, like, once you know that there's no going back, you make different decisions. You make decisions that matter. And I cannot tell you, to escape the prison of living an inauthentic life is probably one of the most valuable things that could possibly happen to somebody on their journey. And the fact that you're in the position to facilitate that kind of freedom is really phenomenal work that you're doing. So I just want to thank you again for saying yes to your dharma, because it means something. Right? Like, you are so pivotal for me. So again, at the very least, hopefully this conversation reminded all of you, just like Coulter said, that you are the master that you've been waiting for. We'll see you guys in the next episode.